on Scripture. I'm going to read the whole of Joel chapter 2. So if you've got a Bible, you can flip it open. But our daughter Sarah, who's with us today, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be such after them, even for many successive generations. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Surely nothing shall escape them. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, and like swift steeds, so they run with a noise like chariots. Over mountain tops they leap, like the noise of a flaming fire that devours the stubble. Like a strong people set in battle array. Before them the people writhe in pain. All faces are drained of color. They run like mighty men. They climb the wall like men of war. Everyone marches in formation. They do not break ranks. They do not push one another. Everyone marches in his own column, though they lunge between the weapons. They are not cut down. They run to and fro in the city. They run on the wall. They climb into the houses. They enter at the windows like a thief. The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. The Lord gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For strong is the one who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all of your heart, with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, "Spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, 'Where is their God?'" Then the Lord will be zealous for his land and pity his people. The Lord will answer and say to his people, "Behold, I send you grain and new wine and oil, and you'll be satisfied by them. I will no longer make you a reproach among the nations, but I will remove far from you the northern army and will drive him away into a barren and desolate land. With his face toward the eastern sea and his back toward the western sea, his stench will come up and his foul odor will arise because he's done monstrous things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things. Be not afraid, you beasts of the field, for the open pastures are springing up, and the tree bears its fruit, the fig tree and the vine yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully and will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. There's a word for somebody. The crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, the great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I'll show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. There's a lot in that passage, of course, and I'm not going to spend very long. I just thought to read that just to start us out this morning. There's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit there, but it's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the midst of tumultuous times. And we've just been reading a book. Terry's got a book, and we've been reading that book. And the book is about this family who were believers in Germany during World War II, and how they're actually Seventh-day Adventists, but they love the Lord Jesus very much. And he got sent to the Eastern Front, and out of a company of 120 or something, whatever it is, there's 22 survived. Was that right? 1,207 survived. So, and he was one of them. But this is the story of his journey and his family's journey too. If you can imagine being, you see, we had to deal with in the West. I personally didn't, but others who are older than me may remember those days. Had to deal with the onslaught of Nazi Germany. But this man was drafted into the Wehrmacht, and he was sent to the Eastern Front. How would you cope with that? See, it's one thing to be on the other side of the demonic hordes and fighting against them, but what if you're drafted into their army? How would you deal with that? And this man tells story after story after story of how the Lord answered his prayers time and time again and kept him. And it's a remarkable account of how God keeps his people in the midst of the most tumultuous and difficult times, and was blessing them and providing for them and protecting them. Their wife was under tremendous pressure to join the Nazi party, and all this kind of pressure and terrible things happening to her. While he was at the front, and yet God kept this family. And that is an encouragement to me, because it doesn't matter how dark and difficult the times get, God is able to keep us. And God is able to give us the grace and the strength that we need to do his will and to walk in his pathway. And I love the end of this passage that we just read, because it talks about an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But it's in the time of the blood moons, as you notice there in verse 31. Well, we're in the time of the blood moon, so I think we qualify for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost right now. Amen? So we've got to look for that. All right, well, I guess I should open the mic for anybody who might have something to share before I preach crazy long. So I'm going to open the mic for whoever would like to come and share some encouragement. I'm going to have Terry come up in a little minute, but we'll give you guys a little shot first before... Then we'll tell you a little bit about our most recent trip and how that went. So, okay. So, mic's open, guys. If you've got something to encourage and strengthen us.
Three things. One is the Lord is good. Amen. Yesterday, I'm on a roof just doing my deal, sheeting a roof. And next thing you know, Jarrett was standing right next to me. Next thing you know, I'm gone. I'm falling. And it should have probably not been good. But I landed right on my feet. Right? I'm like, look at me. I shouldn't be landing on my feet. You know, I mean, I'm not claiming any kind of spectacular skills or anything, but I just landed right on my feet. My legs don't even hurt. You know, I'm just like, just landed right on my feet. And I just thought to myself, and me and Cheryl were praying for protection yesterday more than normal. And she was praying that the Lord's angels would protect me. And you know what? There's a promise. And out of Psalm 91, that if you'll set your heart on the Lord, if you'll set your heart on the Lord, that He will hide you under Himself. It says some other stuff, but I can't remember it all right now. And I just know, but it also says that He will give His angels charge over you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And I was like, all yesterday I'm just rehearsing because I'm just getting over a really bad. Anybody who spent any time with me, I really hurt my arm, and it's still even numb today, but it's starting to feel better. So it's a matter of perspective, I guess, sometimes. And so I was just like, I just don't want to be hurt again, you know. Now it's going to be pretty crummy, you know. Anyway, so I was grateful for that. But I've been concentrating on something. When we were in Israel, something happened. There's a process sometimes when the Lord deals with you where He brings you to something. And so I've been reading the Word of God. And in the Word, it says that He will cause the daughters of Moab to protect Israel. Right? And it says that. And so I've been praying that the Lord, and there's these Bedouin people over there who are part of the daughters of Moab. And so I started praying according to the Word of God that the Lord would raise up this no people, because they're just nomads walking through the land, but they know the hill country. They know the Israel very well. They know this land, and in times of trouble, they could really be a strong help. And I believe the Lord will raise them up for that very purpose. So anyway, I had this prayer that just entered me with a little ounce of faith. And so we started praying into it. So the last trip we were over there, I was working and doing some stuff, and the tile guy was a Bedouin. And he saw this thing that the Lord was doing through this volunteer, and he couldn't get his head around it. Why aren't you ripping this guy off? Why aren't you getting money from him? Why, to the glory of God, we just kept telling him, right? And so this time when we went over there, we actually went to his house and had dinner in the largest Bedouin city in all of the world. And I'm just like, this is just a guy who started out with just an ounce of faith that believed the Word of God, that said something in front of me, that the Lord has put a passion in my heart to see Jewish souls saved and to see them preserved. And then the Lord just, right there, I'm sitting there and I'm giving. I'm just in this small little part of a whole big thing that God is doing, and my testimony is going into that guy and his family. There's a lady who, I can't speak Arabic, so she's interpreting, and she's telling my testimony to him on how I came to Jesus, right? And they're just being moved upon. And it's like, wow, Lord, it's like I went from just all this one little time where I was alone with you, and I just, something got birthed in my spirit. So don't despise the small beginnings. You know, when something is birthed in your spirit, know the Lord. And you'll know when something's in your spirit. And pray into it, because it's part of your destiny. It's part of God's good pleasure for you. And that's just one thing that I got pretty excited about this week. And then I'm landing on my feet. I'm like, God, you're amazing. He's amazing. He keeps His promises. You know, He's taken us off of the dung heap, and He's made us to sit with the princes of His people. Take your place, people of God. Stop hanging around in the dung heap as a Christian believer. It's vexing your souls. Get up, rise up, and be the people of God for this hour. That's who we are. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Give this world some hope. Right? And then the Lord said something really neat to me a little while ago, because I'm just really struggling with this generation. I'm really struggling with them because they're rebellious in a lot of ways. And I'm sorry to say that to you. Hopefully I'm not giving you bad news. But they're so hard to communicate to. And the Lord is like, He says to me, Adam, invest in this generation, because this is the generation that will receive me, that will see my return. Don't despise them. Don't shun away from them. But invest into them. Invest into them. We need them as much as they need us. Do you understand? My strength is failing. You know, your strength, if you're getting older, your strength is going to fail. Right? So you better do something good and invest into the generation that will see the return of the Lord. That got me fired up. Because it's not like it's going to just keep on going on and on and on. The Lord is saying, this generation. And I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. There's a wicked generation out there. They need our investment. They need the times of peace, what God has poured into our hearts, because they're facing something that is overwhelming what their souls are trying to process. And we need to invest the Spirit of Jesus into them and provide for them the precious words of God that maybe we won't come to the finish line, but they will. Let's help them to the finish line, brothers and sisters. If they're worth it. We need to have a resurrection phenomena come. We need a baptism of the Holy Spirit that we would see anew each other. The fathers would turn their hearts to the children. Well, that's what's on my heart today.
Thanks, Adam. That's good. Thank you. Awesome.
The story, but we need some matches. We need to be set on fire. We need to be lit up for Jesus right now. Even never mind what's going on in the world around us. I'm going to tell you a little bit about our trip. I'm going to have Terry come and share a little bit about that too. One of the first stops that we made was a place called Colville in Washington. Colville, Washington, the brother who started the work over there, he used to live down near Seattle until the Lord spoke to him and said he was going to come and bring judgment to that coastal area where he was. And he wanted him to, this was 30 years ago, and he wanted him to get over east and get up there and establish a Goshen. Now, we've heard that word about here, about Goshen, haven't we? So here's Pastor Len Phelps up there wrestling up in the mountains of northeastern Washington, trying to establish and work in there. And it's a tough place to work. It's not an easy place to work. It's a hard place to work. But he's there. And he's been there, being faithful there, trying to be ready. But, you know, he's had some amazing experiences. I mean, he sat and took us out. Well, he didn't take us out, but we met him at the McDonald's. And we were there. And he started telling me a story that I've been there a couple of times and seen him before, but I never heard this story. He told us about one time he was caught up and taken to Jerusalem by two men who told him they were angels. And he said, well, if you're angels, I've got something that you can tell the Lord. Would you ask the Lord this and this and this? But he tells about how he was told while he was there with these angels that he was going to go to Washington, D.C., and he was going to speak to a very influential person in Washington, D.C. So within a very short time thereafter, he gets a phone call by a man who says he's paying his way to Washington, D.C., sends him to D.C., and he goes to this conference, and he ends up rooming with this. He's sharing a room with this guy at the conference. Well, he doesn't know who he is, but the guy says to him, you don't know who I am, do you? He says, no. But anyway, the Lord had told him he had to speak to this man. This man was the most influential, be like the most influential man in the Republican Party at the time. And here he was sharing the room with him. He got to share many words with very significant people because the Lord intervened in his life and grabbed him. I mean, this is a guy living in the mountains of Washington and took him to Jerusalem. Supernaturally, he was baptized by these angels in Jerusalem, and then he's back in his house in Washington, and then within a few days, he gets this phone call, and he'd been told he was going to go to Washington, D.C. Supernatural things like that happening. That's what this work over there is built on. I mean, you know, there's nothing outwardly that would tell you that all of this is going on under the surface there, you know. But when you start to hear some of these things, you realize God is on the move. And God had very significant and serious words for those people. That was in the time of the Clinton administration this happened. And God had very significant and serious words for those people in Washington at that point in time. I'm sure that he has even more significant and serious words for people in Washington right now than he even did then, but that he would get that man and get him there to deliver the word. You know, picked him out of the back of, you know, the most remote, one of the most remote places in America. So, you know, God can use us here in Bemidji. God can do that. And let's be expecting God to move, because there, you know, this whole book, it's a supernatural book of visitations, of people having visitations with angels, angelic beings coming to people, telling them, warning them. I mean, Lot and his family get pulled out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Come on, you got to come out of here. I mean, never mind. I mean, they're in a place where there's, you know, there's homosexuals acting up and all of this kind of stuff, and the angels blind them. I mean, come on. This is that a little bit like our day? And God sends angel to pull him out before the judgment comes. Because it was the angel, remember, it was the angel that pulled Lot and his wife out of Sodom and Gomorrah who actually brought the judgment as well. They were the ones that released it, but they couldn't do it until they got him out of there. See, we need to understand some of those dynamics, because God is, he's committed to his people. You know, it says of Israel that they're the apple of his eye. The bride of Christ can also be described as Israel. So there's something precious about us to him. And he's watching over us. He's caring for us. His hand is on us. And his eye is on the sparrow, as we know in that words of that well-known song. God is looking out for us. And we need to understand that as serious as the day and the hour in which we live is, and it is a very serious day and hour, there is a huge move of the Holy Spirit. There is a huge, we need to be pressing into heaven, putting a demand on heaven for an expectation, not just ho-humming and, you know, I mean, it seems to me that half of the country is asleep. I mean, I've just traveled, you know, 5,000 on something, 400 miles or whatever, and I'm shocked at how sleepy people are. And I'm like, wake up, for goodness sake, wake up. Do you understand the day and the hour you live in? This is a desperate day and an hour, but God is going to do a mighty thing. And I can't believe how sleepy everybody is. It shocked me, actually. It was shocking. So, Terry, do you want to come and share a little bit as well? Because I'm getting all excited here. You might have some more excitement to bring. Pour a little bit more petrol on this fire.
Well, it's good to be back. It's good to see you guys and to be in the house of the Lord. And I want to honor you, Pastor Stephen Candy. When I was sitting over there in worship, I just felt like the Lord had such a pleasure with you, and that there was a delight in him because of you. And I just wanted to give that exhortation to you, because those are precious things when the Lord says something and wants to encourage. You're holding a banner high for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're Stephen Candy and the rest of you, but keep going. Even if it's hard and it's pushing through rocks and bricks and you think, where's the passion? Where's the zeal? It's here because the Lord is here. And way to go, worship team. We're doing the best we can. We're saying rah, rah for Jesus. And we're going to gather up those that hear that cry, Adam. Those that recognize the Spirit of the living God moving are going to respond wherever that is. And you each have something of a passion of the Lord placed in you that is your push. It's your fire. It's your candle. And we were just somewhere where we did this song. You remember that old song? Light your candle, run to the darkness. Da 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 da. Go light the world. Wow. You know, we're waiting for something somewhere else to happen, to explode around us. We're the explosion. We're the tinder. We're the match. It's you. It's me. This is what God said. You are his body. We are it. What a beautiful thing that he would include us and then come to dwell in us so we can actually make a difference. Amen. So anyway, we've had a good time. It's fun to have my daughter with us, our daughter with us. And, you know, just running to the darkness. The first part of that song says, run to the darkness. What the world? Sometimes I don't want to run to the darkness. I don't want to run into that darkness. And yet, when the light comes, the darkness has to flee. And you're full of light. You're full of that light to invade the darkness. My goodness, is this a dark time? So how much can one, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, sing it with me. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. It's not that complicated, is it? So we walk around and we just let the light illuminate us and then be who we are and just watch what he does. This little book is called A Thousand May Fall. It has been so encouraging for faith. Oh my goodness. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he's done for these people, it encouraged my faith that when I need him like that, which he has done a number of times, multitudes of times, so many I can't remember, but I give you praise, God, for everything you've ever done and everything that I cannot remember and everything that I can. But these testimonies of God doing things, we need to study them and build our faith, because when we know he's done it for someone else, he'll do it for us. But he's going to use us. He's going to take us out. He's going to put us in places that test our faith and then cause us to see his hand move. We drove over the mountains over on the West Coast. I was so scared. I'm a plains girl. I was brought up in the prairie. Oh, my word. Oh, the mountains are beautiful, but they're a little bit unnervy for some of us plains people. But God moved. We saw people respond to the Lord. And sometimes you don't know what wake will follow. So all you do is just go be faithful. You may never know what something you've done at the grocery store, the gas station, the restaurant. Just sometimes smiling into the darkness. Sometimes just taking the hardest case that you see, that you know that when they look at you, they just hate you. And you feel like, ugh. And then you let that spirit of God and the love of God come up and just on purpose flow over on top of them. See if you can just get them wet a little bit with that candle. So go light your world. Run to the darkness. Amen.
We do want to thank you guys for praying for us. I was just telling you one story going over this, some of these mountains that Terry was talking about. But actually, this was between Colville and the coast. And there's some pretty high mountains there. We went a high pass that night, and there was ice up on the top of the mountains that was dropped on the road, just big chunks of ice. And some of them we just came upon suddenly, and I got one. I thought, well, I can straddle it. And I didn't realize how big it was, and it smashed into it, and I was horrified, thinking, you know, this could smash a hole in the sump and drain the oil and all of that. But the Lord protected us and it didn't do anything like that. But you know, we need your prayers, and we really appreciate your prayers. And I know many of you pray for us as we travel, and we just appreciate it. But, you know, we've got these cards that say, run before the storm, because that's what the Lord spoke to us about doing, to run before the storm. And we've got an eagle on the card here, but on the way to church here, we saw two eagles in a tree. We actually stopped and took a picture, because you don't very often see two eagles sitting in a tree like that. And Terry spotted them and we stopped. But, you know, we've got to be like those eagles, because those eagles, you know, they fly over the storm, you know, and we've got to be like those eagles. That's God's called us to be eagles in the spirit in this time, to see what's coming, to be aware of what's coming, and to allow and to use every opportunity for him. You know, I was just listening yesterday to a interview with Michelle Bachmann. You know, she's just finished her term as a congresswoman. But she said in that interview, and it was with Family Research Council with Tony Perkins, but she said in that interview, she talked about how right up to the very last she was at the White House over something or another. And she said, I'm going to use, you know, and she's like that. She's a very boom, you know, she'll take the opportunity. And I'm glad she's like that. Those of you who know her or know about her know that she's a very strong believer. And she said, I thought, well, I'm going to take my opportunity, because, you know, at those functions, they get a couple of moments with the president, each congressman does. So she thought, I'm going to use it. So she used it. She said she testified of what she did. She absolutely got right in his face about Iran because, you know, he's writing secret notes to the Iranians and all the rest of it. And she absolutely got right in his face. You'll be the president. You'll be the one who's known for being on your watch that the Iranians have gone nuclear. It'll be up to you, Mr. President. And he was trying to pat her down and calm her down and blah, 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 blah. But she, I thought, praise God that she had the courage to get in his face. I mean, her term was over. I mean, it was Christmas party at the end of her term. But she says, no, I'm going to take this opportunity. I've got 30 seconds with the President of the United States. I am going to use it. I'm going to fire some missile in there that might have some effect. You know, and we've got to be like that. We've got to take the opportunities that God gives us in the situations that he puts us to fire in the missiles, whatever they are, the candle, the light, the word of God, whatever it is he gives us to put in where it counts. Amen. Let's make it count for Jesus.